Let's see your Bibles. See your pens. See your bulletins. Very good. Tonight, we end the 6-week fast. Hopefully, God spoke to you. If you're a visitor, we've been on a 6-week fast. Every week was a different thing we fasted. We fasted food 1 week, caffeine and coffee and sweets 1 week, and media 1 week, and gossip, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the purpose was to give these things up so we could seek God, that God would change us, and that God would reveal things to us that we don't need anymore, reveal things that we are holding on to that are no good for us. So what I want to do starting here is I want to ask one person from each section just to tell us one thing that God has shown you you need to give up or change in your life. And we're going to start with this group. Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Stand up, please. It's my buddy. Most of TV? Okay, very good. Very simple. How about this group? Anybody? Yes, sir. I'm sorry? Bridle your tongue. Very good. Very good. This group. Yes. No TV, no driving, and no music. Okay. So your TV got stolen? God's dealing with you, brother. I'm going to stay away from you. Someone might leak over here and get on me. How about this group? She's standing by. I'll get you in a minute. Just 1 second. Let God be God. Amen. And what did you say? Worry? You stop worrying. Okay. Stop worrying then. Relax. Are you worried about it? Good. Okay. This group. Were you the girl that was sitting over there at that time when I asked for you going to stop and you said no? Okay. So you don't want to stop drinking coffee because you like it, but you know you're supposed to because it gives you the jitters. It's no good for you. Especially after the 9th cup. So you're going to stop cold turkey? What's your name? Let's pray for Erica. Lord, we pray Erica would drink no more coffee. Amen. If you see her at Starbucks, just yank it out of her hand. How about over here? Yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. What about your acrylic nails? No more acrylic nails. Amen. Are you going to say something? Amen. Amen. We all love you, man. Amen. Okay. Now, what we're going to do in about a half an hour is we're going to give you an opportunity to come to the cross. There's 3 of them. And nail your wristband to the cross with your issue. If you don't have a wristband, we have little white cards, as you can see. You can write on there anything you want. We don't want your name and your issue. Just write whatever you know, my issue is pride, and that's it. God knows who you are. And we want you to nail it to the cross. Amen? Okay, turn to Judges chapter 11. We're going to get ready for this time. We're going to talk a short time today, then we're going to do the cross thing. Judges chapter 11. 11. We are going to go to Africa January 1st. So we'll give you more information as we get there, but save your Christmas money. We're going to do a crusade January 1st in Nairobi, go on a safari, and then do a crusade in Uganda, most likely. So it'll be like a five-day deal. We're going to go in the safari. We're going to make our own Discovery Channel video. For real. We're going to go on a safari. Well, at least I'm going. I don't know if y'all want to go, but I'm going. It's available. Judges 11. Okay. Did you know that most butterflies only live 1 to 2 weeks long? 1 to 2 weeks. Most butterflies, most, not all, most butterflies live only 1 to 2 weeks long as a butterfly. Before they are a butterfly, they are a caterpillar. Caterpillar is the first stage. They call it the larvae stage. A caterpillar is a larva of a butterfly. A maggot is a larvae of a fly. Do you know that? Little maggots, nasty. Those are fly eggs, larvae. I don't know if you knew that, but that's what it is. Flies go around and look for stuff to lay the eggs, and the little worms crawl around, and those little maggots are baby flies. But when a caterpillar is a caterpillar, before it turns into a butterfly, it spins a cocoon, goes into the cocoon, and it dissolves and becomes a soupy substance and then reorganizes itself into a butterfly with wings and colors. Then it comes out of the cocoon, and it's still kind of wet and like this because it's just soupy. Goes from being a soup to an animal, insect, and it hangs there for about a day, dries out, and then it flies away. Did you know that? Okay. No, you didn't. The process from being a caterpillar to a butterfly is called a metamorphosis. It goes from one animal or insect that crawls to another insect that looks totally different and flies. Many of the animals that go through this process live longer in the first stage than the second stage. They don't look like anything in the second stage. They don't resemble. They can't. What they could do in the second stage has nothing to do with what they can do in the first stage. They're totally different. What I want to talk to you today about is turning into another person. That whatever you came in here today as, that you would leave differently. So when we nail your issues to the cross, we want you to nail something that is going to enable you to become something different when you leave. Because what God has for you to do with your life, which begins today, the rest of your life begins today. What God has for you to do for your life today, you are not qualified today to do it. You know that. You have to keep changing. And so I want you to challenge you to be thinking, Lord, what am I going to nail to the cross? Now, you might not have been in the fast, you might have whatever. It doesn't matter. I want you to start thinking about what you need to let God have. I drove to, and when you make this decision, I want you to make a decision based on faith, not based on what you think you can do, based on what God needs to do. When I drove to Sacramento Thursday, drove back Friday. Me and my son went up to see a basketball game, and when I drove up, when I was coming back, I told my son, I think we can stop one time. Instead of three times, we'll just stop one time. And I'm going to fill my tank up, and I'm going to run it down to where the light comes on. You know, it says E, you're on E. And then as soon as the light comes on, we're going to get gas, and then it'll fill it up again, and we'll run it down, and then we'll be home. That was my calculation based on the drive up. Now, if you ever drive to Sacramento, you have to understand, once you get out of L.A., there's like 5 hours or 4 hours of nothing. You could drive a half hour and see nothing, no exits. No gas station. So if you get stuck, you're done. It's not like you can just walk to the gas station. It's not like you can just give me a ride. You know, it ain't going to happen. So we're driving back. It's nighttime. It's dark. And my gas is, you know, I'm watching the miles, and I'm watching my gas tank go down, you know. And I'm at an eighth of a tank. And usually my gas tank, the first eighth, it goes real quick. Then it kind of goes. Then the last eighth, it just goes real quick. Well, I'm at the last eighth, and I know this real the last eighth of my gas tank is shaky. And I see the sign that says, next gas station a mile away. I'm like, okay, can I make it? Now, I'm going pretty fast. You know, traffic's going pretty fast. I'm riding with the traffic, you know. Trying to get home. So, actually, the speed limit is like 97 between L.A. and San Diego. It's like, it's ridiculous. So I'm going the allowed mileage. So I'm driving. I'm watching 1 mile. And by the time I think, I'm there at the exit. My mind went by quick. And I'm thinking, okay, I gotta make a decision. Because if I don't get off, I got 31. It says the next gas is 31 miles away. And if I get stuck like halfway, that's 15 miles. So I'm driving, thinking, okay, can I make it? Because I don't want to stop. I don't have to. I want to take it down to the light. So my son's sleeping. I'm thinking, man, how far can he drive? I mean, how far can he run? How far can I run? So I can't get off. Truck blocks me out, and I missed the exit. And I'm like, uh-oh. And I'm like, okay, can I go over the grass and go back? Should I keep going? And I'm just flying down the freeway. And, you know, the longer I think about it, the further I'm getting away from this exit. And I'm thinking, man, I don't want to go back. I got to get home. I really have no rush. It's just this own race I've created in my mind. And I'm running, race. So I'm nervous. I'm really nervous thinking, you know what? I don't think I can make it. 5 miles go by. I don't know if I make it now. I'm going to go back 5 miles. This is all the time I'm wasting. I don't know. And I'm thinking, okay, either your pride and you go back and get gas and be home a few minutes late, or you get stuck and you get out here for 5 hours walking around in the dark. And I'm thinking, I don't know. But there came a time when I was about 10 miles away from the gas station. I said, I got 20 miles to go. I'm going for it. You're wondering, what does that have to do with anything, right? When God challenges you to nail your issues to the cross, and when God challenges you to go to be something that he wants you to be, you got to come to a point where you say, I'm going to go. I'm not going to worry about, did I make a mistake? I'm not going to worry about trying to take the easy exit or the safe route. Because let me tell you something, when God calls you to do something, it ain't going to be safe to you. Matter of fact, you are not going to know the answers. The Bible says that faith is the substance of what you hope for, but the evidence not seen, not heard, not known. So in the story we're going to look at, as you're thinking about what you got to be, I want you to be thinking, you know what? What God, what do you want me to be? You know what God wants you to be, and you know what God wants you to do. You just got to get off your lazy behind and do it. That's the bottom line. Amen? Don't we all know what God wants? Raise your hand if you know what God wants in your life. Look at you. You know it. So we got to do it. Now, in this story we're going to look at, there's a guy named Jephthah. Say Jephthah. Now, we're going to talk about being changed to another man. Now, there are stories in the Bible where they actually use the words changed to another man. Samson, when Delilah was trying to find out where he got his power from, Samson said, if they tie me with fresh bowstrings, I will be weak just like any other man. He says, if they tie me with new ropes, I will be weak just like any other man. You know what Samson was saying? I am not just like any other man. I'm superhuman. He was. When you ask Christ to come into your life and you make a decision to walk by faith, you are not just like any other man. You get to hear stuff from God a non-Christian cannot hear. You get to see visions he shows you a non-Christian cannot see. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When they were in the fire, and the fire was burning around them, and they were alive, and King Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man on the earth, said, come out of the fire. They just said, no, King, you the man. You come in the fire. I ain't going in that fire. That's right, because we're walking by faith. We can stand in fire. So you're not just like any other man. The Bible says when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, he was turned into another man. So I want you to be praying, Lord, how do you want to change me? How do you want to use me? The other thing is that we want you to pray that the Spirit of God will come on you to make that change. You can't make it, only God can. The Spirit of the Lord came on David when he was king. The Spirit of the Lord came on Samson when he got his power. The Spirit of the Lord came on Ezekiel. And the Spirit of the Lord came on the guy we're going to talk about today. His name is Jephthah. Everyone say Jephthah. Tha. Say Jeff. Tha. Say it. Say it. This means, don't say it. You say it. No. You say it loud. There you go, Jephthah. Here's Jephthah's story. Jephthah's mother was a prostitute. Jephthah had worthless friends. When he grew up, his brothers of his father's wife said, "We don't want to have anything to do with you. You're not part of our family." So he kicked him out. He left, and worthless men, the Bible's going to show us, banded with him, and they went raiding the enemy. And then later on, the Ammonites, the people from Ammon, came to conquer Israel, and they said, "Jephthah, will you help us?" Jephthah said, wait a minute. You kicked me out. Now you want me to help you. I'll only help you if I win, I become the leader. They said, okay. My point is this, is that God has picked you for something very specific, and no matter what people say, no matter how you are treated, no matter how bad your past is, don't matter. Don't want to hear complaining. Just say, "God, let's go." So let's look at the story. Chapter 11, verse 1 of Judges. It says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, but he was a son of a harlot. And Gilead begot Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, 'You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman.' Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob, and worthless men, other rejected men, banded together with him, and they went out raiding with him." When I was reading this, I was tripping because the Bible tells you detail for a reason. And here the Bible clearly says this dude has every reason to be a loser. Mother was a prostitute. His brothers didn't want him. They rejected him. Then he gets all these other losers, worthless people with him, and they go out raiding people, fighting. He has every reason to say, "Nah, I'm nothing. I ain't never going to be nothing. Never was nothing. I might as well not do nothing. God's not going to bless me like he blessed you. I come from a different background. My neighborhood this, my parents this." And guess what? God don't want to hear that mess. Don't want to hear that mess. You got to be able to, first point, you got to be able to forget your past. Write that down if you're taking notes. You got to be able to look at your past and say, even though my past is messed up, all of us have messed up stuff in our past. You know, what's amazing about rich people and poor people is that rich people and poor people have no idea how similar their lives are. I know a whole bunch of rich people, a whole bunch of poor people. You know what? Their lives are just the same. It just looks different. Poor people don't think rich people have problems. That's a joke. They got the same problems you got. It just looks different. Same problems. You live south of the 8, north of the 8. I was at a friend's house in Rancho Santa Fe. I was telling him where he lived. And jokingly, I don't live in Rancho Santa Fe. I told him where I lived, and he says, "You live below the Y, the 805 and the 5, Y." He was joking, but it was kind of funny. It was like a North County bag. You know when you bag on somebody? That was like a little, you were cutting on me, right? A little joke. But it's like people north of the Y, south of the Y, south of 8, south of 94, they all got the same problems. Just looks different. That's it. Same problems. You know what that problem is? The devil. It's the devil. And Jephthah, he had all this negative in his life. From the world's perspective, you got to be able to say, you know what? That doesn't matter. Because God is bigger than all of that. Way bigger than all of that. Look what Paul said. I'm reading something to you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Paul said, you know what? "I have not attained it, or I'm not perfected, but what I do is I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ has laid hold of me, that I may become what Christ has determined for me to become. Brethren, I do not count myself as as have gotten there yet. I'm not perfected, but one thing I do is I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead, and I press. I press. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ. What Paul's saying is that God has an ideal Paul that I am not yet. I want to become that ideal Paul. So what I do is I forget all the junk, my mistakes, what people say, what people still are saying. And I press. There's always going to be people that criticize you, always, to the day you die, no matter what you do. There's always going to be people tell you what you can't do, what you won't do, what you're not good enough, what you're not tall enough, rich enough, smart enough. So that's part of life. Matter of fact, the more blessed you are and the more successful, the more people like that are going to come around. So you press and you press. Jephthah said, hey, I got all these worthless people. I'm going to still do my job. Because the next thing you got to do is you got to develop your gifts. Write that down. Develop your gifts. The Bible says in verse 4, it came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was when the people of Ammon made war against Israel that the elders of the Gilead went to Jephthah and said to him, Jephthah, come be our commander that we may fight against the people of Ammon. Verse 7. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come now when you are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, that is why we have turned to you again now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said to the Gilead, if you take me back home to fight against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head, the leader. And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord will be a witness between us if we do not do according to your words. Why did they go to Jephthah? Let me tell you why. Because what Jephthah didn't do was have a pity party when he kicked him out. He didn't go, well, I'm just going to go and get drunk every day, and I'll just go get high, and, you know, I'm not going to go to school because it ain't going to mean anything anyway. I'll just, you know, hang out. You ever meet people, what you doing now? Hanging out. You ever meet people like that? Some of y'all like that. They ain't got no job, no school, nothing. Just hanging out. We work, I work over here, you know. No direction, no purpose. You know whose fault that is? Yours. Nobody else's fault. Don't tell me about your mother. Don't tell me about your father. Don't tell me about that, because God is bigger than all that. You know what Jephthah did? Jephthah said, wait a minute. I'm a leader. I'm a gladiator. I'm going to go gladiate. Look at verse 3. That's what he did. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 said, Jephthah fled. He said, okay, y'all don't want me? I'm out of here. He left. He went to the land of Tob. And what other men band together with him? And what did he go out to? He went raiding. What did that mean? Does that mean he went after the enemy? He just didn't do it with the Gileadites because they didn't want him. So he said, I'll just do it myself. You know what he says? I know God made me a gladiator. And even though y'all don't want me, y'all don't like me, y'all don't want to be around me, forget y'all. I'm going to go gladiate by myself. Point number 2, you got to figure out what you got to gladiate and start gladiating. You got to develop your gifts. Write down, develop your gifts. You have to develop your gifts. God has called you to do something irregardless of your circumstances. And God will allow and even create some unusual circumstances around you just to prepare you to do what he's called you to do. Don't think that if God calls you to do something, it's going to be all pretty and smooth and everything's going to work out. Everything's going to be easy. Who told you that lie? That is not true. When you give your life to Christ, sometimes God will take everything you got before he starts to do his work. He'll break you down. Just like the caterpillar. Caterpillars walk around with all his legs. You ever hear a story about the little caterpillar? Oh, this is an amazing story. This guy got a little caterpillar. It's a pet named Fred. Had him in a box. Is there? Oh, okay. Fred. He had like 1,000 legs. I hope I can remember this joke, right? He says, Fred, you want to go to the park? Let's go walk, run around the park, throw the frisbee. He's yelling at this Fred. He don't hear nothing. He's putting his shoes on. He giggles. Fred, you want to go to the park? And he still don't hear nothing. So he's getting frustrated because he wants to take Fred out and go to the park and play. And then he says, Fred, do you want to go to the park? And this little tiny voice comes out of the box and says, I heard you the first time. That's not the funny part. He says, I'm putting on my shoes. I'm not a joke guy. I don't tell jokes, but. The Bible says, Matthew 25:23-24. Matthew 25, verse 23. Please write this down. The Bible says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The Bible says that when you are faithful to be what God has called you to be, when you are faithful to do what God has called you to do, and what God has called you to do and what God has called you to be will always be directly related to what God has equipped you to be. He's not going to gift you over here and call you to do this. It's a waste. He's going to gift you here and call you to do something to use those gifts. And the Bible says that when you're faithful in a few things or the little things or the simple things, then he will entrust you with more responsibility and opportunity. And that is when you're going to enter into the joy of the Lord. So what I'm going to tell you is, please write this down. Undeveloped gifts leads to undeveloped joy. Undeveloped gifts leads to undeveloped joy. If you are not developing your gifts, practicing your gifts, honing your skills, you are never going to have the joy that God talks about in this story. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Hey, you've been faithful in praying. You've been faithful in studying. You've been faithful in practicing. Hey, come over here and enter into my joy. You may have joy over there, but you think that joy is good? This joy is better. But if you try to get God's joy doing something other than what God's called you to do, you will never enter into God's joy. Jephthah said, y'all don't want me? That's not going to quench my joy because I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Y'all don't like me? That's okay. You think being happy is going to have a boyfriend or girlfriend, being married, having money, having a nice car, that is not going to bring you happiness. Trust me. More than half the people get married get a divorce. Why? What does that prove? That it ain't a husband and it ain't a wife. If you're unhappy and you get married, you're just going to be an unhappy married person. And then there's going to be two unhappy people because that person you marry is now going to be miserable because he got you. Or she got you. Whichever. You want to get your right life right with God first. That's a whole other topic we ain't getting at. Number three. Honor your vows. Write that down. Honor your vows. The Bible says let your yes be yes and your no be no. And when you pin your thing up there, don't pin your thing up there and say, I'm going to stop drinking. And go out and get drunk. Well, you know, my friends were going to TJ, and I want. God wants to do something serious in your life, and you know what he wants you to do. You know what he wants you to be. What God is telling me today is the same thing he told me 15 years ago. And I've seen it unfold and unfold, and he just keeps adding to it, but it's the same story. He hasn't changed. He knows what he's talking about. He's not confused. If God's called you to be a pastor, guess what? You need to start being a pastor. If God's called you to be an evangelist, if God's called you to start a small group, be a coach for the small groups, be an usher, serving the church, being a prayer team, whatever it is, guess what? You need to do it. You are not called to sit here and listen to me every week only. I know that. That's not biblical. You cannot find that in here. And you are not called to church hop. You know why you're church hopping? Let me tell you why. Because you're looking to get entertained. You're looking to get into, oh, yeah, I like my out here, but I don't like the church because I don't like this church. I like this part. No. Forget that mess. There is no one perfect place. You know what you need to do? When you're going to be fulfilled, when you say, this is where I'm going to go, and I'm going to get involved with my whole self and do everything God talks about, that's when you're going to be fulfilled. That's when you're going to be fulfilled. But just sitting in this seat in this church and sitting in that seat in this church, and I know a lot of y'all go to other churches, and you're fine to come here. But let me tell you something. If another church is your church, you're welcome to come. But get committed to your church. Get involved in your church. Don't satisfy yourself by just going and listening to different people. That's not what it's all about at all. You got to do it. You have to do it. You can talk about it. You can listen to it all you want, but it's not until you do it. There's a verse in the Bible, Paul says, I want to know the power of the resurrection. I want to know Jesus. And he's not talking about knowing him in his mind. He's talking about knowing him by experience. If I showed you an onion and said, do you know what this is? Oh, yeah, that's an onion. Tell me about it. Well, you know, you can cook it. You can eat it. It has different layers. I said, but do you really know about an onion? Oh, yeah, I know about an onion. No, you don't really know this onion until you bite it. Bite it. Chew it. Then you'll know the onion. You know, that's how God wants you to know him. He wants you to know him in here through experience. Look what Jephthah said in verse 29 to 31. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh and passed through Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he advanced toward the people of Ammon. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord, if you will indeed deliver my people, of the people of Ammon, into my hand, then it will be that whatever comes out of my doors or my house to meet me when I come home, surely shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it as a burnt offering. Very bad vow, because his daughter came out, and he had to kill her. We're not going to do that. But here's what you are going to do. I don't want you to take this lightly. I want you to say, Lord, you know what? I need to make these changes in my life. Some of y'all got shows you watch, music you listen to, things you drink, smoke, drugs you take, language you use, people you hang out with, magazines you read, that got to go. And some of y'all need to get up and read the Bible in the morning, study your Bible, stop being lazy and getting up at 10 o'clock. You need a witness. You need to serve in the church. You need to faithfully give. You need to do what the Bible says. It's very simple. It's all right here. Ain't a mystery. And when you do those little things, guess what? God says, good boy, good girl. Now enter into the joy of the Lord. And we'll do some more. It's that simple. But if you, I'm going to cut corners. I'm going to try to do it this way, and I'm going to try to do it this way, and I don't need, oh, you'll go in circles for the rest of your life, and you will die a miserable, woulda, shoulda, coulda person. You'll die. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today. And if you're saved, I'm talking to you too. You're going to be saved from your lack of faith, saved from your fear, saved from your procrastination, and say, Lord, I want to be all you call me to be. So in a minute, the band's going to come up here. Matter of fact, if they're here, come on up here now. I don't know where they be. Here they come. And I want you to start preparing your heart right now. Right now. Lord, I'm ready to change, and I'm nailing my junk to the cross. What we're going to do is we're going to, when the music plays, I just want you to get up out of your seat, come nail to the cross, sit back down. We're going to get out of here early tonight, but we're going to have a few words for you at the end. But I want you to be thinking, and let me leave you with this. Don't think about the changes that you can make. Think about the changes God wants to make and that God has to make. A friend of mine was at the Washington Monument, tall building. It's like a spike. Standing in line to go up to the top. It's a long line. He didn't want to stand in line. So he's sitting there going, I don't want to stand in line. And he sees a security guard. He goes to the security guard and says, look, man, I don't want to stand in line. I'm very impatient. How can I get up there quicker? Can I not stand in line? I mean, it's kind of like an selfish kind of question. The guy says, oh, you don't have to stand in line? He goes, I don't. He says, no, you can go up right now. He goes, I can't. He says, yeah, the stairs are right there. No one's ever over there. Everybody's over in the easy line. He says, oh, I'll get back in the elevator line. If you are willing to work, if you're willing to make sacrifice, if you're willing to humble yourself, God's ready right now. If you're willing to do this, get on your face. You willing to do that? Oh, no, I just need to pray like this. I just don't want to be comfortable, you know. Don't get my knees dirty. Got a little arthritis. What you willing to do? You want to read the Bible all day? You willing to read 10 chapters a day? You can read the whole Bible in 3 months. Do that. You willing to memorize scripture? You willing to witness to people? Do that. But if you just want to take the easy way, oh, it'll take you forever. Yeah, you'll grow a little bit. And you'll blame pastor, blame the church, be critical of everybody because you just got criticalness in your heart because you ain't happy. That's your problem. But if you say, Lord, I'm ready. God has challenged me big time in my life. He said, Miles, here's 5 or 10 things I want you to do. If you do them, we go here. If you don't do them, we go here. Here's better. So what you want to do? Change the same thing to me. Same thing to me. I am jacked up. I'm going here. Now I'm going to tell you, he's been telling me about here for a long time, and I've been saying, for all these bogus reasons, I ain't go there yet. Now it's time for me to put up or shut up myself. Okay, God, I want to go here. He's like, okay, what you want to do? Hookah? It's up to you. Lord, we thank you. You are so fair. You are so fair. Matter of fact, you're not fair. You're beyond fair. Fair is that we would be dead. Fair is we'd be in hell. Fair is Jesus wouldn't have died because he didn't sin. You are more than fair. Dear God, I pray these young people today, and a few old of us, old people in here, would give it up all the way. Give up your issues. Don't give up what you think you can give up. Give up what God is calling you to give up by faith. You don't have to know all the answers. You just have to know that the one who has the answers is calling you. Give them to Jesus. So as you hear the music, get up out of your seat. Rip your wristband off. We got scissors if you can't rip it off. And we got a little piece of paper. Nail it to the cross. Go back to your seat. Then we're going to end it out. In Jesus' name, amen.